Could you give us just a real capsule, brief summary of the events recently in Bahrain? It's a very small country in the Persian Gulf, not too far from Kuwait. Most Americans probably haven't heard very much about it. What exactly has been going on there?
Yeah, that's correct. Many Americans have never heard of Bahrain, so it's a very strategic ally to the United States. And actually, we have the United States fleet stationed in Bahrain for many years. You know, the movement of Arabs, the Arab Spring, so-called Arab Spring, which started in 2011 in several countries, Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya and other countries, reached Bahrain. And Bahrain actually was the third country which had a big national movement in 2011, February 2011, where people went on the streets asking for freedom and democracy and human rights and equality and to end this discrimination. Now, Bahrain is a very interesting case compared to other Arab countries because this is a monarchy. We are talking about a monarchy here. And Bahrain is kind of what happened in Bahrain literally was meaning that, you know, this movement is kind of challenging the whole system in the Gulf, what I call the only remaining absolute monarchies in the whole world. This is why this movement was crushed really badly by the government and Saudi Arabia, our neighbor and a very strong ally to the government in Bahrain, entered the country with the army, cracked down on the protesters, and demolished the symbol of the movement. We called it the Pearl Roundabout, and declared the status of emergency law. This was in 2011, March 2011, 2 years, same like these times. And since then, obviously, so many human rights violations have been committed, and the country was kind of living in fear. However, the protests never really stopped. Every night, people will go outside and protest, and they will have gathering. They will have many creative ways, basically, to voice their messages, to kind of declare their nonviolent resistance on the ground. The important factor here that I want to mention, since I'm a journalist, is the fact that there is a real media blackout, that this story is not being covered really on the international media for many reasons. One of them is the fact that Bahrain is a very important ally to the Western countries, including the United States. And it's not really in general, the political stand is not in favor for any political change in Bahrain. Which is why, I mean, many of the Western governments have been supportive to the regime, even though they are critical to the human rights violations that have been committed since then. But there is no comparison towards the stand from, for example, the Syrian government or other governments in the region and the Bahraini government, even though it has been committing very similar crimes. Now, today, I mean, we hear stories every single day about, you know, young kids being killed by using tear gas made in USA and weapons that have been sent from the United States or several other countries to Bahrain until today, even with all these documentations of the human rights violations. And it is very frustrating for many Bahrainis. And this the feelings towards the West in general as an ally for democracy and supportive for democracy and freedom, and anyone who is seeking freedom is jeopardized, especially in the case of Bahrain. If anyone wants to discuss the hypocrisy in the let's say the American foreign policy, they will always bring the case of Bahrain because, you know, it's very clear. I mean, this is a very clear case of people who went there just demanding democracy and human rights, and who are very well educated about that, by the way. And this particular movement is not the first one. This has been going on for many, many generations, actually. Since the 50s, the Bahrainis have been kind of more advanced politically than the situation that they are living in, the fact that they are living in a monarchy where one family literally owns and controls everything. So this is pretty much what has been going on in Bahrain.
What has the impact been on media and information within Bahrain? My assumption would be that the government is not permitting free expression in newspapers, radio, television, etc.
Yeah, that's correct. I have been a journalist for Bahrain, in Bahrain for over 8 years. I worked for the only independent newspaper in Bahrain. TV and radio is state-owned and controlled. Most of the newspapers who are functioning in the country are owned or controlled by members in the ruling family. So you can imagine how the situation of freedom of expression is inside the country. Since this particular movement and the crackdown on the pro-democracy movement, even the only newspaper which was independent in Bahrain received so many attacks. Editorial team have been changed. They kind of put more restrictions on the reporting on the ground. Besides the fact that many of the local and international journal correspondents who go to Bahrain to cover have been witnessing so many different attacks and targeting by the government. And this is something that me and many of my colleagues, the Bahraini journalists, have been working on since 2011. We were documenting all the violations that have been committed against journalists, international or local, in Bahrain. And we issued several reports discussing this very issue. The fact that even though the country is basically, internet is used and it's widely used actually in Bahrain, but it's highly monitored, people are monitored, the journalists are being attacked if they go inside. They don't get visas anyways, but if they get visas, they won't be able to kind of report freely from the ground. So the stories are not really being told to the international audience. And besides that, obviously, the fact that now, I mean, in this a few months ago, actually, there have been reports on spyware, and very advanced spyware that have been used by the Bahraini government or the Bahraini telecommunication company, which is owned by the ruling family, spyware sent to activists to spy on them, to monitor their work. It's very sophisticated work, and Bahrain was one of the countries that have been added to the list of enemies to the internet. So even activists who are very active online, on Twitter or Facebook, who have been basically very vocal, have been targeted. Many cases that have been reported on activists that will be sometimes jailed or arrested directly after, clicking on particular links. So these issues kind of, even though it's not reported widely, but it's a very interesting case, and it's worth exploring and really having second thoughts about the political position.
Now, you yourself ran afoul of the government in this regard while you were reporting there, correct?
Yes. I was in Bahrain. This was a very a popular movement, and obviously this is the time for journalists to be there. I was in Bahrain reporting for my newspaper and for several other international media, including USA Today. I was the main correspondent in Bahrain. And after the crackdown and when they started declaring the state of emergency law, they started targeting journalists, which was something we never really expected, but it happened. And I was among the first people who were kind of imprisoned. I actually was taken for only 16 hours and investigated, and they made me sign a pledge not to write or engage in any political affair. And I was threatened, obviously. I saw the doctors being brought to the station blindfolded with their uniforms. I saw beating of prisoners. And it was a kind of a very, I would say, a very emotional experience and very shocking. So when I was released, I decided to leave the country because I didn't feel safe anymore. They were kind of monitoring every single person, mostly journalists and activists who are on the ground. And I decided to come to the States mainly because I went to school here. So I didn't really have a plan to stay, but I didn't see that the situation is actually improving. So here I am a year and a half later, and things are not really improving. And since I came here, I have been actually touring the country, speaking in different universities and different outlets, actually, and writing on many stories, trying to write on stories that have not been told, and kind of raising awareness on this issue that have been kind of neglected by some media in general, not all.
You say you're not seeing much progress in Bahrain, but ultimately, do you think that the cause of popular democracy will triumph there?
Yes. Yes, there is no progress mainly because of the support that the Bahraini government is getting from the Western allies. And even though there have been several steps, like commissioning a commission that was investigating human rights violations in Bahrain, and some reforms have been done here and there, but many people who really understand the situation in Bahrain, who have been observing the situation closely, know that this is just a cosmetic change. It's not a real reform, and people know that. And this is one of the main reasons why they never really stopped going out and protesting and demanding real changes. And I don't think anything will really change on the ground until there is a real, I would say, compromise that will be given by the ruling family. And I don't know if the ruling family is yet able to compromise, because it's a very kind of, it's a complicated situation, especially that the ruling family is by itself divided. But in general, it's, there is a lot of pressure, obviously, on the government to kind of make real reforms. And I think the United States, among many Western countries, including UK, can see now how their policy towards particularly their allies is kind of really costly in the long run. It's very clear now that, you know, to have a stable government in the Middle East in general is a very important, it's a great investment for the future. And to have, you know, kind of a reconciliation between people and their government, kind of a priority, because the harsh rule will never last forever, and people will always find ways to resist and to kind of raise their voices. And this is, I mean, I guess this is something that have been brought up, and many kind of analysts and researchers who study the Middle East and especially the Gulf region in particular will always mention all these issues. The problem, I think, mainly is the interest, because there is interest. There is a very important interest in this region being like that. The United States government wants to kind of secure its base mainly. It doesn't want to kind of, I would say, piss off the Saudi Arabia, which is a very strong ally, again, which has the oil and economic interest. And Saudi Arabia makes it very clear that Bahrain is kind of its territory, that, you know, and no interference should be made. So it's kind of very complicated politically, but and this is why I would assume that the change will take some time, but I would always argue that it is going to happen, because history moves forward, it doesn't move backwards, and it's kind of really surprising, and kind of everyone was kind of surprised how Bahraini people were able to resist all this time for 2 years with no political support from the international community, I would say, with the media blackout, but they still managed to maintain their resistance, and they still managed to voice their messages. And many, many public opinions have been shifted. They know now this case. They acknowledge it. So I think this is a great progress. It's kind of hopeful, but I don't know where this will be, or let's say how long is it going to take until a very well-established decision will be taken. The political situation is actually very critical. However, I think I always feel that the media angle is very important in the Bahraini case, because of the uniqueness and the fact that the story is not being told. There is no media coverage in it, and you have the, you know, the Arab media in particular is not covering this movement as if it is not really happening. Mainly because of the fact that most of the Arab media, the popular Arab media, Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, all these news channels are owned and controlled by the Gulf money and the governments in the Gulf region, which are very supportive to the government in Bahrain. So this is one challenge. Besides the fact that internationally, this story is not really attractive. When you hear, one or two or 10 people being killed in Bahrain, it's not comparable to thousands of people being killed in Syria, even though people tend to forget the fact that Bahrain is a very small country, and the percentage is huge. We have over 100 people have been killed so far, which is, for the Bahraini population, it is a very strong number. It's a big number, basically. And this is something that sometimes will be kind of ignored, but I think it's very relevant, especially that Bahrain is literally the door for democracy in this very important region in the world.